And we're back on the hunt with Supernatural Season 6, Episode 19, Mommy Dearest. I'm Chris Barrows.
And my name's Dan Cummins. Welcome back to the best Supernatural podcast on the air. This is the show where Chris and I rewatch our favorite show, Supernatural. We break down the plot, topics, and themes of each episode and maybe dig out details that you missed the first time around. 8.5, Chris. That is the rating of this episode. And I feel like I've been starting all of these episode recaps with you, like with the score recently. And that's just because I'm just shocked and like surprised at how good this season has been so far. I got to admit, kind of a rocky start, wasn't as strong in the beginning, but I feel like they really found their footing somewhere in the middle up until now. And look, we covered last week. There's been four nines. I believe in a couple weeks, Chris, we're going to get an 8.9. The quality of this season is so good that an episode like this, for whatever reason, Chris, kind of falls off my radar. Like for me, this is not the most memorable episode. And I think there's a lot going on in this one in terms of like, how do we get to the end of season six, right? We're trying to wrap things up. But in doing that, an 8.5, and I have to agree with this rating personally, I think it's a pretty solid episode. Like it's a really good episode for what it needs to do. Are you surprised by the score?
Yeah, it just doesn't stand out. It doesn't stand out despite
how good it is.
it's a solid episode, and you would think it would stand out because you've got some great reference. You've got Dean calling monsters, Jefferson starships. I mean, like, there's these things about this episode that I feel like I should be more excited about. But again, I enjoy this episode. I did. This one we have, by the way, Mommy Dearest, which aired April 29th, 2011. John F. Showalter is the director of this one. You mentioned the 8.5. This is an episode where you've got Dean, Sam, Castiel, and Bobby. The team is together, right? Shady Cast, as you were calling them, is there with the boys. And a small town, the citizens have been turned into demons. And ultimately, Eve is going to be bringing back their mother, or at least appearing as her mother, to sort of torture them, right? Well, to bringing her back her mother as a demon, essentially, is what it is. That's really what she's doing. So this local town, it's kind of taking place in this one place, which I think is great. I mean, you do have a nice opening here, by the way. You've got Eve infecting these people at a local bar, the boys loading up shotgun shells. And the start of the episode, I think, really sets the pace where ultimately, for the most part, you're going to spend a lot of this time in a diner. I mean, there's a good, 15 minutes? It feels like 15, 20 minutes. I don't know what it actually is, but it felt that way, which I think is important. It felt like we spent so much time in that final scene in the diner.
It does, yeah. And can we just jump to the end here, Chris? This episode really is serving one main purpose, which is that we get to actually see what's going on with Cass in this one. We'll cover that when we get to the end. But for me, that is like why this episode exists. There's a lot going on, especially with even this one. But let's keep that in mind. The conclusion of this episode really is why you should rewatch this one. And Chris, if you're going to ask me, should you rewatch this episode? Personally, I think you have to. No, it's not memorable. It's not even that fun, Chris, but you have to rewatch it because it makes all the episodes that you've already watched worth it. Right? You get the conclusion of, well, why is Cass acting so weird? This episode will show you why he's been acting so weird. It's brief, and we're going to expand on it further, but I thought the reveal at the end of this episode really was like, it was great. It was a great scene, real shock factor. And we get one of our favorite characters back, of course, in this episode. We'll get there. I'm not going to totally cover that here, Chris. But for me, that is what really is memorable about this episode. But yeah, they're in this small town and Eve is starting to cook something up, Chris. We've already seen her create that the worm, the con worm, as the Bobby and Rufus, I believe, coined that term. But now she's creating something else. She is creating hybrids, which is really interesting, Chris. We know that Eve is the mother of all, right? Meaning she's created these monsters, but now she is mixing and matching monsters in a way that is really disturbing, but also kind of cool. You and I love monsters in the show. So to see, like, you know, you get a piece of this and a piece of that and like one monster, I thought was really neat and a good idea, because what is scarier to a hunter than having two or three monsters combined? Because then it's like, well, how do we kill it? Is it a vampire or is it a wraith, right? You start to blur the lines, and that maybe is the scariest thing that Eve can do.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We do learn in this that Eve is shielded from angels. So Sam is basically going to suggest, hey, can we find a friendly monster to help us? Which brings a friendly vampire, Lenore, from many years ago.
Yeah.
And this is where they basically are trying to say to Lenore, well, do you know where Eve is? And because Lenore does warn that Eve could see through her, but does say that Eve's in Grants Pass, Oregon. Mm-hmm. So she's able to give them that information. And ultimately, you know, that's helpful. So the fact that she's blocking angels shows, you know, pretty powerful. Though on the power scale of people they fight over the years, I would have thought Eve would have been more powerful. But based on how little we see of Eve and how, dare I say, quickly she'll end up being disposed of overall in this particular show, I not so powerful, right? Like the monster of all, okay, but I almost felt like the head vampire, you know, the elder vampire was seemed more powerful and scary than Eve. So that's my, out of anything with this episode, I just come to feel like, all right, Eve, cool. Like, I didn't really build up. Like, and in this episode, to me, 8.5 for a reason, because I didn't care that much about Eve, despite the fact that the boys were doing this stuff to kill Eve. The adventure to kill Eve and all the things they had to do to get there was more fun than the actual let's go kill Eve story, which is hilarious in its own right, I guess. But I don't know if you felt the same.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think they kind of dropped the ball on Eve. I enjoyed that she was, you know, occupying this young girl vessel, Chris, that worked really well in prior seasons. A particular demon that Sam was after, she was especially creepy. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. But I agree with you. Like, if you're the creator of all monsters, maybe you should have been a little more intimidating, or maybe some more screen time, Chris, or maybe just, I don't know, maybe they should have written her a different way. But I agree with you. And you know what? You've had some great ideas as we've rewatched season 6. Maybe she should have got her own season. Maybe Sola Sam could have taken up all of season 6. Then you introduce Eve in season 7. Give her more time to cook, right? We don't even really understand who Eve is until halfway through season 6, if you think about it. So I agree with you, and it's unfortunate, Chris. But like you said, the journey to getting to Eve, I think, has been really fun and was well-written. So even though the sort of the final boss, if you will, Chris, was disappointing, I did appreciate all of the things we learned along the way.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I do appreciate that we had a season that was very much about monsters.
Right.
And we had everything from Samuel experimenting or like interrogating them to this hybrid or these Jefferson starships, which will be referenced again, by the way, I believe later on in the show, it'll get said again. The concept that hybrids are out there, you know, in that way. But ultimately they're in this town. They realize ultimately that everyone's a demon at this point, which we're going to see in a later season where monsters are pretty much taking over everybody.
Yeah.
In the late seasons, actually that happens at some point. And they end up getting like arrested, but they're not really, they're just the demons arresting them because they've taken over the cops. That's what it is. And ultimately, a lot of this comes down to a battle. So Dean arrives, by the way, in time to save Sam, Bobby, and Castiel, who've all been arrested. Mm-hmm. So it's not a great situation, but we know they're demons. We know that something is up. Dean saves the day here. And ultimately, they end up returning to this diner that I mentioned, right? And this is where I want to focus, because here's the reality. The diner is such a great scene, and it shows the potential of Eve. And that's the thing that bugs me here, because you've got this form of Mary that's talking to Dean. And I love the vibe. I thought she did a great job playing this role when she was playing a demon version of Mary, essentially.
Yeah.
And I loved every part of that scene, and it went to show me what could have been, which is why I'm so kind of bummed that we didn't get, I mean, in reality, we got like what, 6, 7, 8 episodes of an Eve plot. Like it was a mini plot. Right. Wasn't the full plot. The real bad guy in this season, as we're going to come to realize, is the Castiel action plan for winning his battle for heaven. That's the real bad guy. There's not one true bad guy, because we've had the alpha vampire. We've had Eve, right? Both, in my opinion, deserving of a full freaking season of being the bad guy. And that's two awesome potential seasons right there. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, Chris, there hasn't been like a clear cut bad guy in this season. Like technically that ends up being Cass, right? But we learned that way too late. And look, the mother of all, or Eve, however you want to call her, like she's supposed to be the like aggressor of the situation, right? But she never really owns up to it. Like she tries the whole sympathy card in this episode, Chris, and it just kind of falls flat for me. She goes down way too easily, like you said. And also, like, it's just so anticlimactic. Like we get to this scene with the diner, and I agree with you. Like the buildup is great. I like that they brought back Mary. I thought that was really interesting. But the way she goes about talking to the boys, like it wasn't what I expected. But she says something interesting, Chris. And she says that, you know, what she really wanted was peace. But your grandfather started abducting my children, so now it's personal. And I thought that was an interesting line because, and I don't know if this is explained ever, Chris, but like, was she lying? Is it possible that the mother of all monsters would have just, you know, kept things the same way, civil, right? You guys be hunters, we'll be monsters. If our paths cross, so be it, right? We've been doing this for hundreds of years. But I never wanted to take over the world. It wasn't until your grandfather started meddling with things. Could that be the case? I am sort of inclined to believe her, to be honest with you.
I think I might believe her. And she does say she really just wants Crowley, who's not dead, offers them a deal. And they refuse. Now, Eve's going to bite Dean in this situation. Dean's like, ha, I ate the Phoenix ashes. I drank
them. Yeah. So good.
And so I do like a smart move from the boys. I like when the boys are smart about something, like, I know what you're going to do. Cause they had the idea of what they were doing to turn people. Right. And so ultimately, defeated the creatures, but start to attack Castiel. However, his powers are back. He destroys them all. Castiel saving the day again, suspect, right? Suddenly he's able to help, because the closer they get to him, the more helpful he's been.
Right.
Which fascinating, right? And they're going to start to see through this, but you know, in particular, Dean, however, still thinks Team Cass is on our side.
Yeah.
You've kind of started to lose Bobby and Sam at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Dean is still pro Cass, but in the end, Bobby and Sam now start to think, is Castiel alive? And that's the takeaway from this episode. It's not that they've beaten the big bad, because again, I just want to say what I think they were going for was we're going to interconnect these stories and it's going to be really cool. And if season 6 gets a bad rap, it's not because of bad episodes. It's because the story to me doesn't flow as well as previous seasons.
Right.
It's not a lack of quality episodes. I can completely deter any thought that that was ever the issue. Because outside of Mannequin Free, The Reckoning, I have enjoyed every single episode. I never need to see Mannequin Free, The Reckoning again. It goes to the pile of episodes next to Bugs. But, I mean, it's been a good season otherwise. So, it's unfortunate when I feel like this could have been as good as those 1 through 5 seasons had the story just flowed a little better for me.
Yeah, you think about season 5, Chris, and you know, you try to isolate the threads that are going on in season 5. Well, there's Sam, right, who is angry and is drinking demon blood and like ultimately wants to justify his previous actions by beating Lucifer. And then you have Dean, who is suffering that his brother is doing that. two threads, right? In this season, there's what, four of them? You have Dean dealing with Ben and Lisa, which ended horribly. Hate that thread. Then you have Castiel, right? War in heaven, but also kind of a dick, shady Cass. Then you have mother of all, Eve, right? The whole monster situation thing. And then you have Crowley, who is working with Samuel. And, you know, eventually soulless Sam gets thrown into that mix as well. There's too much going on, right? When you try to interconnect all of these threads, it's going to get messy at some point. And you know what? Some of these threads are going to get more screen time than others. Personally, Chris, I think they gave too much screen time to two of those threads that should have been given to the other two. Yeah. That's my personal opinion. I think it would have made for a better season. But like you said, the quality of the episodes themselves have been good. It's an overarching issue. It's where is the season going? Where's the series going, Chris? We have to remember that too, right? Like, there shouldn't have been a season six. The fact that we're in season six was never a given. So it's like, where is the overall show going? It should have started there, and then you build out season six so that you can start to understand, okay, if we do get a season seven, we'll go here. Let's not try to fit in four things in one season. But it's a great point.
Yeah, but look, at the end of this is the important part. Bobby and Sam are suspecting Cass will go back to this diner, and he finds Crowley waiting for him. We now know Cass and Crowley are doing something, working together in some way or form, and Crowley is alive. And that is a huge piece. So yeah. Crowley's been heavily involved in this season. Crowley is alive. And we're going to get more of Crowley, which I'm so excited about. And if there is and he really is a villain, like at this point, like you look at the way he treats people, you think about who he's killed, the things he's done. I mean, so it's exciting for me to have him back. So tons of positives. I really did like this episode. We'll go into a much deeper analysis of this season, but that's kind of my hypothesis on why season six fell short for me in the past, maybe. But I definitely appreciate it a lot more right now. These episodes are enjoyable. And even this one, which I'm not going to say it's like a ho-hum episode. It's a pretty good episode. It's just we've had the previous episode, which was Frontierland. We've had the French Mistake. Like, some of these episodes just were so fun to watch. It didn't feel as fun to watch. And that's I think, all it really is for me.
Yeah, agreed. To wrap things up here, Chris, a few references, nothing crazy in this, you know, it's a plot driven episode, Chris. So like the references, the trivia, like you said, it's not as fun. So you don't have as many fun references. It's just how it goes. But we do have a few. The title comes from the film Mommy Dearest. Mommy is spelled differently with the IE, and that's from 1981. There's also a reference to the movie in the episode. Dean says, "Beat me with a wire hanger. The answer is still no." This is also a reference to the same film, which I thought was interesting. Yeah. A surprise here, Chris. Mark Shepard was uncredited to preserve the twist that Crowley was still alive.
Why don't they do that more often? Why don't shows do that more often? Like,
yeah,
I've been irritated by so many things lately where they're like, oh, by the way, so-and-so is going to be. I'm like, well, don't list it on IMDb then. Like,
yeah.
Let me be surprised.
Yep, agreed. And you know what's worse than that, Chris? When, like, you know, the network will show a trailer or something and that character is in the trailer itself for no reason. I can't tell you if CW did this or not. But
the worst, for the record, I'm just going to say this, the worst thing, and it was Marvel who did this, no surprise, when it's the line when Iron Man goes to Peter Parker, well, you're an Avenger now. I'm like, why would you not save that for the movie? It was such a great line. And
right
to this day, that one pisses me off. Oh
yeah, happens too often. And the last thing here, Chris, this will be the final appearance of Julia Maxwell as Eve. Who?
That's a shame. That's a damn shame right there. Like, why didn't the mother of all come back in season 15, by the way?
Yeah, agreed. And in that form specifically, I thought she did a great job, really unassuming. But that's like the creepiest thing. A little girl that, like, you know, is able to take over a full size man in a semi truck. Like, that for me was the most memorable scene of Eve's. Like, if you remember that episode, Chris, I really enjoyed her performance. It's a shame to see her go. Shame to see Eve go, really. But yeah, that's the end of that arc, Chris. Next week, we have episode 20, which is called The Man Who Would Be King. And he's Castiel's going to start to confess some things, and we're going to start to learn what Castiel has been up to. And like I said earlier, Chris, it's not a 9, but it's an 8.9. It's right on the cusp of being a 9. So we're in for a good one next week.
I'm just going to say there have been, I don't know if there's this many high rated episodes in the seasons to come, but this has a lot of good ones. This next episode has an interesting storytelling methodology that I found really fascinating. Can't wait to talk about it. I will just encourage people to make sure you do subscribe. If this is your first time listening, that's great. If you want to come back and start the journey from the beginning, go back, start with the pilot and listen all the way through and do this rewatch. But definitely make sure you hit that subscribe button. I do want to thank you all for listening. Make sure you also check us out on Reddit, Back on the Hunt Pod. We're on Twitter. We're on Threads. I gotta say X, whatever. It just follow us on Threads anyways. you may as well. And on that note, Dan, I will say that is it for this week. However, we will be back because after all,
we've got work to do.